Today. 2 hours of news, current affairs, and opinion. With in-depth panel discussions on domestic and global issues. Today brings you the story behind the headlines. Locally produced, but with a distinctly international flavor. Today.
Welcome to Today, a news magazine from a different perspective. I'm John Artman.
And I'm Xu Jindo. On today's show, we'll be talking about vocational education in China.
Long looked down upon, manual labor has formed the backbone of the Chinese economic miracle. However, the time for low-skilled labor is quickly passing. As part of China's ongoing efforts to shift the economy away from investment and export, the central government has renewed its focus on vocational education. So what does China need to successfully train high-skilled labor? Will it be possible to change the negative perception of blue-collar work? What can China learn from other countries in restructuring its labor pool? These questions and more on this edition of Today, where we explore the future of vocational training in China.
Well, joining us today for our discussion, we have on the phone Qiang Jia, Associate Professor of Education at York University in Canada, and Dr. Liu Peng, Assistant Professor in the Department of Education and Education Policy and Leadership in Hong Kong Institute of Education. In the studio, we have Ruben Van Boer, consultant from RMG Selection, an international recruitment company, and Ken Zhang, Vice President of New Jinxian, an online education company, mainly focusing on career development, education, and data analysis. So welcome to our show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hello.
Let's start with vocational training, vocational education. You know, how do you define this special profession, I would say, what is we are talking about the vocational training? We'll start with our phone guest, Qiang Jia.
Hi. Greetings from Toronto. I guess we live in the different parts of the time zone.
Good evening.
So, you're in the morning, I'm in the almost night. So I still have to say good morning to you. Thank you for the question. I guess the distinction between traditional, I'm going to focus on the tertiary education or the higher education part. This is my background, also my study interest. Mm-hmm. I think the distinction between the traditional higher education and vocational higher education is the orientation. The traditional higher education orientation is definitely the academic orientation, and maybe you can put it as a research orientation. While the vocational higher education, professional higher education is more about the skills and applied knowledge that would be needed in a workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be two types of this kind of the distinction. Normally, we use the term called a binary system. In the North America, the binary system, normally the distinction is between the university and college. So another add-on to this distinction would be the degree. University offers degrees, and college do not offer degrees.
Interesting.
But in Europe, the distinction is more interesting. For instance, in Germany, the binary systems extending all the way up to degree level and even advanced degree level. Again, the distinction is about academic research or about practical knowledge for workplace.
So Ken Zhang, when we're talking about vocational training and vocational education, what specific types of jobs are we talking about? What kinds of jobs are people being trained for?
Well, I think actually there are a lot of jobs. It's very difficult for you to give a very specific scope. But I think for most of the people, such as working in the manufacturing industry, those skilled workers, definitely they need to have some kind of vocational education, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Liu Peng, tell us how important is vocational training as a whole to a country like China? Why China is stressing so much about vocational education right now?
Personally, I think so. China is changing from the low-skill products to the high-technique products. So we pretty much need the technicians with the higher techniques, to support this kind of development. So I think the vocational education is really important for Chinese economy to upgrade to the new stage. Yeah.
I want to actually to add on one point. I think actually it's also due to the demographic trend. Mm-hmm. It's said that China's demographic dividend is disappearing. Mm-hmm. So you have to increase the production rate of the labor. That is one of the most useful means is that to through the education.
Mm-hmm. So, Ruben, looking at the job market right now, we're looking at a record of 7.27 million graduates are entering the job market. However, that number one, there's always a problem in terms of them finding available positions. There's also a problem with employers finding appropriate people to fill these positions. So when we're looking at this, I mean, why is there continually this type of mismatch?
Yeah, that's a good question. And as a recruitment consultant specialized in China market, we especially look not at the educational part, but really what is the client looking for, right? And what we see right now is that companies in China, they become more professional. And because they become more professional, they see candidates, they see employees as full skill sets, right? So it's not only the school you went to, it's not only the connections you have, it's not only the language you can speak, it's the full skill set. Right. And then what you see is that I think the mismatch is that the China market is changing so fast. Right. So the supply and demand on the job market, what they're looking mm-hmm. for, what can be supplied is changing also a lot. And what you see right now is that companies have a really difficulty in finding people like blue workers from the beginning with the vocational knowledge, like starting from zero. But with kind mm-hmm. of the professional and international, for international companies, the mindset, right? So really the key also for vocational students and for companies is to find the match between, the vocational skills and the professional mindset, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's speak of this mismatch between the graduates having trouble to find jobs and mm-hmm. the companies having difficulties basically to find the right person over there. I mean, is it unique to China or the Chinese market here, Changjia?
I think it's a common issue for many systems, mm-hmm. but China is now precisely experiencing this kind of dilemma. If you look around this world, many systems, they experience this kind of the process of building what I termed as the binary system. And, back to 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you would observe this kind of the binary system in UK, nowadays in Germany as well. For many particular systems, when they started the process we call massification of higher education, normally, mm-hmm. it's going to be a natural process to have a binary system. It's kind of for the efficiency of the system. It's kind of for building a mass higher education system without too much impact on the traditional part of the higher education system, which mm-hmm. is the university sector.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite common. For many countries, they experience the same, more or less the same.
Probably it's more acute being felt here in China. So, Dr. Liu Peng, there was an expansion in the number of universities, I think in the late 90s or early 2000s. You would see the mushrooming of universities or college being upgraded into universities. So are we having too many universities in terms of like students, graduate students having difficulties finding jobs?
Well, I think because I'm not expert in higher education, but personally, just as a general people, I think we don't have too many universities, but we need like high quality universities. That's my personal point. Yeah.
I don't think the number of universities is too much in China. Now, we have altogether 2,400 mm-hmm. universities and colleges, including the vocational colleges, comparing mm-hmm. to something like 3,000 to 4,000 United States. And with the same nearly, I think the number of the students in school actually a little bit exceeding the number of United States. So I don't think there's a number issue.
But there still seems to be. I mean, if we're looking purely at quantitative information, there seems to be a pretty big gap between the number of people graduating and the actual jobs available, right?
No, I don't think it's the case. And actually, recently there's a nationwide survey. by my course, it's actually on the year 2013 graduates. After half years of their graduation, the employment rate is as high as 90%. I think it's a good number. If you think about the so-called unemployed 10%, actually, according to my appearance, still a great part of them also have the, some their personal plan. For example, to prepare to go study overseas. They just don't want to find a job for the time being.
So Ken, you are saying that there was somehow sort of like exaggeration about this unemployment problem?
Yeah, I don't think it's a quantity issue. Actually, there's never a very severe unemployment problem for the Chinese college graduates, but there are definitely some so-called quality issue. That means
the students
cannot find.
Yeah.
It's not the case that they cannot find a job, but they cannot find an appropriate job.
Yeah.
Can I jump in? I think your discussion is very inspiring. I think here I want to offer my point is, which is about the relevance of higher education.
Mm-hmm.
You argued that it's not really about quantity or quantitative development. I agree with that. It's not really about the number of these students. China is such a large country, and China's economy is such a large
size. Yeah, I agree.
So there's a huge demand for the labor force. Here, why there's unemployment issues for the undergraduates, I think it's about the relevance of higher education. Mm-hmm. Those newly founded universities, they are in their first 5 years or 6 years. They're very new.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have an idea how to develop their niche, how to develop their programs. So they simply copy those traditional universities.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, their programs not so competitive, not so specific about any client base. So that, in part, I think, in my opinion, at least partially responsible for the unemployment issues among their students.
Yeah, W. Peng?
May jump in. So I think essentially there is a problem between the market and the university, you know. The graduate university produced cannot match the requirement of the market. So there comes out the employment problem. Yeah, that's my point.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on a little bit. And, you know, if you take a look at this, the drive or the effort to basically having more, say, vocational school graduates, but then there's this perception, at least, when it comes to the social issue, you know, people would view vocational training or vocational education as somehow like a second class in terms, especially compared with this university education. You know, how big is the gap between, say, academic studies, universities, or the graduate from a vocational school in terms of income, in terms of social status, things like that, Ruben?
That's a pretty interesting question, right? What I would say, it will depend on the student itself, right? Neither a bachelor's degree or vocational studies is sufficient to kind of sell yourself to a company for the long term. But if a vocational student learns his English, learns his languages, works on leadership skills, etc., etc., works on his whole skill set with his vocational studies, it could really be that at some point long term in his career, his skill set, his value to a company is bigger than a bachelor with economics who thinks he can have a high salary but doesn't really have the necessary skills for the company. And then you really can have that, you can call it like technical workers of the beginning have a higher salary in the long term, right? That doesn't do anything to the social status, but I can give an example. One of my clients is looking for an operational manager for all the warehouse and distribution in North China. And they told me, don't give me a bachelor degree. I want a blue worker from the start, 10 years warehouse experience, coming from zero, you know, who went through the whole process, you know, who worked in international companies, who can speak English. That's the person we want, because that's the person who understands the person he leads, right? And somebody who doesn't really understand the person he leads, like on the low level, you cannot lead them, right? That's the perception of companies coming more and more. That's my feeling, yeah.
Well, I also have some number, you know, for your reference. Also in year 2013, the average starting salary for the graduates from the colleges and university, say they are not from a vocational college, mm-hmm. the starting salary is 3,500 RMB around.
On average.
Yeah, on average. But for the graduates from the so-called vocational college, on average is 2,900. So it's if you're talking about the starting salary, it's not a huge gap.
Mm-hmm.
But in my appearance, as the time passed by, the gap, the salary difference between those who go to the mm-hmm. vocational college and the other universities will expand. Actually, for certain majors, if you go to vocational college, it's more likely that you can get even higher starting salary.
Mm-hmm.
But you will notice that the increase of your salary will change very little from year to year. For example, if you choose to become a driver in the metro, your starting salary will be high, but it will keep stable year after year. If you go to university, things will be different.
Mm-hmm.
You will have very, very fast salary increase.
You're listening to today. We're going to take a very short break. And coming back, we're going to be looking at the current status of vocational training here in China. Stay tuned.
Online, on air, and on your phone. Take today wherever you go and stay ahead of what's changing our world. From politics and the economy to business and technology, Today covers regional and international issues that affect China and the world. Keep up to date with Today.
Are you a soccer fan? You can get the latest news and results direct from the 2014 FIFA World Cup by visiting our official website. Inside our homepage, you'll see a large World Cup photo banner. Just click on it to get the latest video reports, games analysis, photos, and much more. So visit our official website at newsplusradio.cn right now. Celebrate the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil on newsplusradio.cn.
Today's talk, tomorrow's world.
You're listening to Today with News and Analysis. I'm Xu Qingduo. Today we are talking about China's vocational training and vocational education reform.
And I'm John Artman. Today we are joined on the line by Qiang Zha, Associate Professor of Education at York University in Canada. Also on the line we have Dr. Leo Peng, Assistant Professor in the Department of Education Policy and Leadership in the Hong Kong Institute of Education. And in the studio we're joined by Ruben van der Boer, consultant from RMG Selection, an international recruitment company. Also, we're joined by Kane Zhang, Vice President of New Jinxin, an online education company focusing on career development, education, and data analysis.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on to the status of this vocational education here in China, I have one more question about this, the China's drive to have a more vocational school graduates here. There is a globalization. We are seeing some part of this manufacturing jobs being moved to other countries from developed countries to China and other developing countries, and then you see the same pattern now is happening between China and other countries like Bangladesh, Vietnam, in Southeast Asia. So is it really necessary, to cultivate or educate your own skilled labor, so-called? It's like the manufacturing will stay in the country forever, Ruben.
Yeah, good question. And this is actually a lively discussion, especially in the global logistic industry, right? And the fact is that it's impossible that all manufacturing will leave China, because if you see the other South Asian countries coming up, they don't have the logistics or they don't have the facilities to do the high-end manufacturing, right? So the perception is that, the manufacturing in China will become more high-end, and the low-end products will come more to other Southeast Asian countries or South American countries, right? So in that sense, if China wants to fit, their advantage, because salaries were going up, you can't stop that. But if they want to increase the quality of the manufacturing, they have to educate the labor, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which brings, it's not only a threat, it's also an opportunity, because China will kind of bring a new labor level where they're more expensive than like developing countries, but cheaper than the West, right? So developing countries will be more eager to import from China products with a good quality and lower price, right? So there's a lot of export opportunities here, also to Europe. Europeans, they go more and more to China because the quality is rising and the price are lower than in their Western countries. So there's a lot of opportunities if they get the quality of the manufacturing right with the price. Yeah.
Well, I think it's also very interesting because around 10 years ago, we talk about we want to focus more on the service industry. But nowadays, nearly all over the world will refocus on the manufacturing side. It's to talk about United States, they want to reindustrialization, right, by Obama government. Yeah, and I think the same thing also happened in China. Especially I noticed that so-called intelligent hardware, you know, there are some new trend happening in the manufacturing field. Mm-hmm. So they need more high-skilled and very high-end manufacturing industry also, also emerging in China. So also, by nowadays, there are still 35% of the whole GDP is from the manufacturing industry. So I think that's why Chinese government will put so much weight on the vocational education.
Well, Dr. Liu Peng, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang emphasized at a recent national-level work conference that massive skilled labor force was needed to upgrade the Made in China label. So what kind of overhaul of China's vocational institutions was the Premier talking about? Dr.
Well, I'm here. So I think it's for China, China's economy is changing from the high tech, like another guest talking about, we go into another stage, like a high end. So we pretty much need like a high qualified vocational professionals. So we pretty much have to restructure vocational institutions and to change the situation. Yeah.
So, Dr. Chiang Zha, I mean, what would you say are some of the bigger problems with, as Dr. Liu Peng was saying, with the structure of vocational education institutions?
I won't go back to the previous focus of the discussion, which is the status of vocational education in China. I think the status of vocational education has a lot to do with the cultural and the societal values. If I can offer some international perspective. We take Germany and Britain, for example. Back to 30 years ago, 40 years ago, both countries featured the so-called binary system. One traditional academic stream, and the other is a vocational professional stream of the institutions. But now you look at both of the countries. Germany still keep that binary system, while Britain abolished, I think abolished back to 20 years ago, the binary system. Why? They have quite different endings. Again, my argument is has a lot to do with the societal values. In the systems like Germany, which features the egalitarian approach to the distribution of the social resource and the social wealth, it might be easier to maintain such a binary system because there's no big gaps between the traditional universities and professional universities or applied science universities. This is also the situation in Canada. Canada also features a kind of egalitarian values. So as a professor myself, I don't make much more than a senior worker in auto industry. Mm-hmm. So people can easy to go to different streams. Mm-hmm. As opposed to Britain, you know, Britain has a strong liberal education and tradition. So many polytechnic, they use different terms. In Germany, they used the Fachhochschulen. In Britain, used to be the polytechnics. So they have the kind of the aspiration to become universities. So at the end of the day, the distinction was blurred, and those are former polytechnics. They become universities today. So eventually, they abolished the binary system. So back to China, I guess that's why I'm holding the point. There could be some barriers or difficulties down the road for China to have and maintain a binary system. It's about the social values. Because Chinese society features a strong mentality of meritocracy. Right? The kids and the parents, they do have very high expectation for their kids to go to universities. This is not only in China. Even the Chinese overseas, like in Canada, we have so many Chinese here. They have way higher percentage of the Chinese kids going to university than the local kids. I can give some statistics. Mm-hmm. 72% of Canadian Chinese students, they go to university, as opposed to only 42% of local people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely touch upon that barrier, like how to overcome that mentality later on. But back to this status of vocational education here. I know, Ken, you are very familiar with the Chinese universities and also vocational schools. Mm-hmm. Tell us, what are the problems of associated with the Chinese vocational institutes right now? The problems, the challenges, like we are talking about overhauling the system.
I think actually there are several main problems or challenges. First of all, it's not people who view that vocational education as second class. But in the truth, if you talk about the Gaokao system, the vocational college can only pick the students which were the kind of left over by the other colleges and universities. That means lower quality students in the very beginning. That's one of the problems why the parents will view the vocational colleges be interfere to the colleges and universities. And another problem, I think, is the fund. We know that in the public education system, the government will fund most of the cost of university and colleges. It's so-called per students are a kind of investment. According to me, to those vocational college, the per students investment from governments is only around 50, most likely to 70% of the other college and universities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I think there are two main problems.
Mm-hmm. So, may I jump in?
Go ahead.
Based on my personal experience, no matter in Belgium or in Hong Kong, the government invests a lot of money for the vocational education. But for the Chinese government, I think they need to do more work in this regard. Yeah.
All right, well, great. That you're listening to today. Coming up next, we're going to be continuing our discussion on vocational education here in China. Stay tuned.
As a guest speaker with today, I feel very much grateful for providing a chance for me to communicate to the world and China's progress and China's accomplishment and also China's rich cultural heritage and, of course, China's desire to integrate itself into the international community. I believe today opens the window as well as built the bridge between people in China and the world.
Since 2009, Today has been your source of news on China and the world from a different perspective, with unrivaled analysis, expert opinion, and panel discussions on all the latest breaking news, the top business stories of the day, and in-depth sports coverage and education matters. Today, your unique window on the world, direct from the heart of China. Weekdays on newsplusradio.cn.
Weekly debates, in-depth analysis, expert views and opinions on the biggest news stories from China and around the world. This is Today, your unique window on the world, direct from Beijing. Weekdays on newsplusradio.cn.
You're listening to Today with News and Analysis. I'm Xu Qingduo. Today we are talking about China's efforts reforming the vocational education sector.
I'm John Artman. Today we are joined on the line by Qiang Zha, Associate Professor of Education at York University in Canada. Also on the line we have Leo Peng, Assistant Professor at the Department of Education Policy and Leadership in the Hong Kong Institute of Education. And we are joined in the studio by Ruben Vanderboer, a consultant from RMG Selection, an international recruitment company. Also in the studio, we're joined by Kane Zhang, Vice President of New Jinxin, an online education company focusing on career development, education, and data analysis. So Ruben, I want to come back to you and continue some of the discussion that we were talking about before the break. Kane was bringing up a lot of issues in terms of some of the challenges that vocational education faces right now, what would you say are some of the bigger ones in your mind?
Sure. Well, like, of course, you have like the normal problems, underfunding, etc. If you see it from the candidate side, what we see is that especially migrants from other cities looking for a job, for them it's a big investment, such as school. And sometimes they say, why I should go to college full-time for 3 years just to learn how to do something, right? Why I'm not starting to work right now, make my money and get my certificates part-time, right? And then at some point I have the certificates, I have the work experience, and I have my advantage, right? So, I mean, if you talk about perception, that's also a problem, right? It's not only that it's a low social status, etc. It's just the added value, because people can learn working by working and get the certificates, etc. So if you talk about the government, which is not my specialty, but that's also something candidates think of vocational college. Well, a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, of course, you can only do it full-time, etc., and it has more added value in the candidate's mind for the future career. That's basically what I see from talking with candidates day in, day out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Ken, you know, during the break, you talked about, like, again, about the figures, about the graduates, a number of the graduates are from vocational schools. Again, I would ask you, are we having too many of them or too few of them, or is it a quality issue?
Yeah, I want to show the number first. Actually, I want to show some number. First of all, till year 2013, the in-school students, the number of in-school students, if you talk about vocational school versus the other high school, that is 20 million versus 24 million. That's nearly half-half. You can see that. And altogether, you got 20 million plus 24 million. Altogether, you've got 44 million. If you divide by 3, because talk about high school altogether 3 years, you get something close to 14 million. But how about the number of babies born in that specific year? Actually, in year, I think it's 1998 to 1996, it's quite stable. Fluctuate it a little bit from 14 million to 15 million. Mm-hmm. That means nearly all of the child in China either go to the so-called vocational school or go to the so-called high school. And in the government's latest release, the documents, they will see set the target as half-half. So it's actually quite close to half-half.
But then why? So I mean, then why are we still seeing so much talk about vocational schools? Is that as you're saying, it's already 50-50 almost?
Yeah, I think the government wants to put more focus actually on the quality side. Mm-hmm. It's not only on the quantity side. And also, if you talk about higher education, we also got nearly 50-50%. 50% go to the college and universities from the so-called 7 million, and another 50% go to so-called vocational college.
Right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. As I said, we'll come back to this perception or social status issue here. Again, I will come to Chiang Zhai. You know, you mentioned about this perception or misperception anyway, or discrimination against vocational school graduates here, not only in China, but also even among Chinese communities, like in Canada there. How, in your mind, like, we can conquer that kind of a perception and to improve the social status of people's understanding of, say, vocational graduates there?
I think in terms of the social values and the cultural values, I've talked my points. I guess we have to face this kind of the legacies and traditions. But now I'm going to talk about several technical points, since I've covered the cultural values and social values. Technically, I guess if China is going to have something I call the binary system, a couple of things the Chinese government or the higher education sector must do. First of all, they have to create a different set of the criteria for quality of education. When we talk about higher education, when we talk about good higher education, as some of the panelists talked about, so far we actually have quite a large number of the Chinese students enrolled in the higher education, higher vocational education sector. If not 50%, I think it's 45%. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the Ministry of Education held a press conference, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the number I got from there is 45%.
Yes, I think you are more accurate, your number.
That now enrolled in the higher vocational education sector. It's actually a quite an equal distribution. But now the focus is about quality of higher vocational education. Because we have no clear idea about what is good quality of higher vocational education program. Because you're talking about different criteria. It's easy to define good traditional academic university education program, because you're producing academic academics, right? You have graduate students who can write academic papers. That's easy. But how do you define good quality vocational education program? So that's an area the government need to put resource in and put effort in to develop the different and multiple criteria for defining good quality higher education.
Yeah, and part of their plan in terms of it seems at least in terms of increasing quality is to start turning some universities into vocational colleges, hoping that increase the quality. Sorry, go ahead.
That's precisely the term I used, the binary system. But how do you have the different criteria to define the binary systems, one academic as opposed to one vocational? So we don't have, I mean, in China, there's no such a clear set of the criteria for defining good quality higher vocational education. So that's area the government need to put in more efforts.
Well, I guess, but also my question here is that, you know, we've seen on the mainland a fairly large trend of, you know, smaller educational institutions pushing to upgrade themselves into colleges and universities. So Kane, you work with universities and colleges. Do you think that these universities will kind of accept what in their minds might be a bit of a downgrade?
Well, I think that it's very, very hard for those who have upgraded themselves to so-called universities will redefine them as some kind of vocational education. But definitely, I think it's a correct direction. Because if you have a very specific vocational college, you have only 3 years education, and you have no degree, comparing with the normal the other university and colleges. Mm-hmm. About 4 years, and you get a bachelor degree. I think definitely it should the right direction. Mm-hmm. But the issue is how the government can give some incentive to those university and colleges who are willing to transfer them into that so-called higher level vocational college. That means you have also 4 years, you have a bachelor degree.
Okay, go ahead.
May I jump in?
Yeah.
So I think in terms of the restructuring the universities and the vocational universities, I think we cannot make a great leap like in the 1958. Mm-hmm. So just, we really have to ensure the quality, right? We must have the long-term strategic plan. What are we going to do? What kind of goal we're going to achieve, right? So we cannot just do everything in one day, right? That's my point.
Yeah, I will argue that I don't think that 3 years in the education in the so-called vocational college is a good choice, because you have 3 years and you need to learn some general knowledge, and also you need to learn some skill. And according to the requirements of the government, you have 1 year actually to work in the field. Mm-hmm. That means either you work in the plant, in the factory. That means you have only 2 years in the college to study some knowledge and skills. Definitely, it's such a short time. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for us to expect to have some so-called high-quality, high-skilled workers.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Coming right back, we'll be talking more about vocational education here in China.
I am Alka Acharya. I teach at the Jawaharlal Nehru University in India. Today has organized its programs and it rests on bringing in a lot of views from all over. It is an extremely good platform for information and analysis, and I wish it all success in the future.
Weekly debates, in-depth analysis, expert views and opinions on the biggest news stories from China and around the world. This is Today, your unique window on the world, direct from Beijing. Weekdays on newsplusradio.cn.
You're listening to Today with News and Analysis. I'm Xu Qingduo. Today we are talking about China's efforts in reforming the vocational education sector.
And I'm John Artman. Today we're joined on the line by Qiang Jia, Associate Professor of Education at York University in Canada. Also, Dr. Leo Peng, Assistant Professor in the Department of Education Policy and Leadership in the Hong Kong Institute of Education. In the studio, we're joined by Ruben Vanderboer, consultant at RMG Selection, an international recruitment company. Also joined by Kane Zhang, Vice President of New Jinxin, an online education company focusing on career development, education, and data analysis.
Now back to discussion. Six Chinese ministerial level departments jointly issued a plan to develop vocational education over the next 6 years. One measure of them is to require local governments to allocate enough the standard budget for vocational schools as they do for regular colleges. So my question is, Ruben, to you, how can we make sure the local governments will have enough, say, like a budget for vocational schools? Or how can we make sure they will be willing to allocate enough funding for the vocational schools?
Sure. Great. First of all, I think this is the right way to do. I agree with other speakers that it's a long-term strategy. Actually, the term long-term is a little bit flexible in China, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. So the more you can put on local provinces, et cetera, the better, right? Especially now corruption is getting fired, et cetera, et cetera. From a more corporate view, I really believe that more corporate life should be involved in this. It's not only a governmental issue. If you see at the whole point of conventional education is to match the education with the work life, right? So companies should really see that it's basically all for them, basically, right?
Okay.
So they would really support the educational schooling. I think what's in Europe is happening. Companies, they just give hammers, or they just give tools to the education educational schools to do it, right? So you can do much more than money. You can do internships. Let these people work. Let the students get enthusiastic about, you know, working and whatever. So they also get more involved in the profession during the education.
Go ahead.
May I jump in? Yeah. I think based on my study experience in Canada or Belgium, I think all the developed countries, they set up the law to promote the development of the vocational education. I think in Chinese context, we must set up the law to ensure the local government to invest sufficient funding to the vocational education. Mm-hmm. Okay? I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Liu Peng, do you think the Chinese local governments, are they ready to do that?
Well, based on my personal experience, I think Liaoning province, and they did a great job in the vocational education because they used to be the industrial the base in China, and also they did a great job in vocational education. But I don't think in their mindset they are ready to do that. But however, the Chinese central government has quite wise. They set a right direction, and I think we need a law to push the push the direction,
put everything forward, Actually, there is a law. There is a so-called vocational education law in China, which has been published for years, I think.
Okay, so it's published, but it should be implemented.
Exactly.
It's implementation, right?
Yeah. So that's the thing, So that's the thing. I think the Chinese, based on my study experience and working, I think the Chinese leaders are quite wise and smart, when we implement the policies, we really have to ensure the appropriate implementation, right? So that's the thing.
Yeah. Well, I would put the question to all of you probably. You know, look at what happened this week, at the very beginning of this week. You have these guidelines being issued by the central government. You have this press conference yesterday, basically, Beijing time.
Yes.
And then you have this big national-level worker conference on promoting vocational training education there. You have this speeches delivered by the president, Xi Jinping, and the Premier Li Keqiang.
Yes.
So this is a bit unusual in the sense of, like, how much emphasis you can see from the central government?
You know what? I think there's the emphasis, but we need someone at local, for example, local governor who is responsible for education.
Mm-hmm.
This person should be responsible for the success of the vocational education. And finally, you know, the vocational education can be successful in the local. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone should be responsible, right?
Okay.
That's really important. Yeah.
Right. Can
it's
we say...
I'm sorry. So it's kind of accountability. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in my mind, I just say, like, there's no lack of a political will from the top leadership. Yes, we are going to do it. We are going to achieve that in 6 years. Of course, it's about the specific measures and implementation. But anyway, there's this political will, Ken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's great.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, in China, I think that so-called if the central government will put much stress on a certain thing, definitely the local government side will have to pay much more attention on this issue. It's very important, I think.
And so Ruben, looking at, so we're just talking about the government. Let's take a look at the corporate and private investors who are being encouraged to invest. What kinds of incentives do corporations, do private businesses, private investors have in investing into vocational education?
Well, good question. Well, as just mentioned, right, is that right now the good colleges, they have, a better position in getting the best students to their college, etc., right? So if the corporate life gets more involved into the vocational colleges, by giving internship, by giving speeches, by letting the students really see how the corporations are, they are already able during the education to recruit their good students, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to really get the students a feeling, so when they finish their 3 years, they already know the company, they already know the operation, etc. So they will have much more value for the specific company.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I think so. Actually, for many vocational colleges, they have a certain kind of coordination with the companies, with enterprises. They are so-called pre-order class.
Mm-hmm.
That means a certain company will sign a contract with a vocational college. They will train the students in the way of the company required. Then after graduation, if the students, most of them can pass the so-called skill test and some kind of exit test, they will all be recruited by the company. It's definitely beneficial to those companies.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays, most of the companies are facing a shortage of skilled workers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, may I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I hope I'm not distracting the topic, but I think in the Chinese context, we really need the investment from support from the government, okay? Not only the non-governmental organizations. You know, the Chinese government or China becomes stronger and richer. So, you know, the government has the money. They should invest more money in vocational education and even the basic education, right?
It is said from the government statistic, actually the central government and the local government altogether have invested around 200 billion RMB in the past several years in vocational education.
Mm-hmm. Changzha?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm just waiting for my chance to jump into this.
Go ahead, please.
Actually, I'm not so much worried about whether or not a local government is ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
They should be ready, and they have to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, the Chinese bureaucracy system is famous for its efficiency. Right? The central government is... you will see a very quick response from local governments.
Yeah.
You have to. My point is about the incentive. What kind of incentives we can create for those universities to stay as universities of applied sciences?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about the social values, right? How they value this status as universities of social applied sciences. And also we talk about some external influence, such as the ranking exercise. Mm-hmm. We all know the famous ranking exercise by Wu Shulian. And we know how much weight he put on the research function, research capacity of universities. Mm-hmm. If we continue things like that, at the end of the day, those university of applied sciences were classed at the bottom of the hierarchy. So how can we expect them to stay in that status, stay in that system? Mm-hmm. And also, you know, even though the Ministry of Education is now determined to convert around 600 newly founded into the universities of applied sciences, but the policy is after 7 years or 8 years of operation of their undergraduate programs, they are allowed to offer advanced degree programs like masters. In that sense, are they going to change their status? Are they supposed to be aspire to become the traditional academic-oriented universities? So that's a big question. So this is the first question I have, or first response I have. My second response about the corporation, what kind of contribution, what kind of results you can expect from the corporations? I think they're going to contribute eventually because they are a big beneficiary from the higher vocational education. Yeah. But my question is about how much that can contribute to the content of higher vocational education. If you look at the developed countries like Canada, like Germany, the big corporations, they contribute a lot about the content, about the course programs. Yeah. In Canada, we know of Waterloo University. It has a famous co-op programs. Those corporations have big contribution. My question is whether or not the corporations in China, they are ready to make this kind of contribution.
Mm-hmm. Ken, from your experience, of course, communicating with these vocational institutions there, do you think like the Chinese companies or international companies based in China will have like more incentive sort of to cooperate with those schools in training graduates?
I think that most of the companies, especially the foreign invested companies, nowadays are more willing to cooperate with those vocational colleges to train the students. I think that there's definitely a very good trend in this way.
So as we're coming up towards the end of the show, and as a way to wrap things up, I wanted to ask all of our panelists one by one the same question. And the question is, how long is it going to take for China to have a professional blue-collar labor force? Ruben, let's start with you.
I can't say years. I mean, every country is ongoing. But I would say 5 to 10 years, they have a good start.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
And Xiangjia, what do you think?
I would think it will take much longer.
Okay. Okay, and Dr. Liu Peng?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident to the management, governance ability of the Chinese government, no matter the central and the local government. I think it's probably within 10 years.
Within 10 years. All right, and Kane Zhang, what do you think?
Also, I also think it will happen in 10 years.
10 years. Okay, so actually we have a fairly optimistic panel for vocational education. So that's
right.
gives us a bit of hope, doesn't it? And that's all the time we have for this edition of today. Thank you so much to all of our guests on the phone. We had Qiang Zha, Associate Professor of Education at York University in Canada, as well as Dr. Liu Peng, Assistant Professor in the Department of Education Policy and Leadership at the Hong Kong Institute of Education. In the studio, we had Ruben Vanderboer, consultant from RMG Selection, an international recruitment company, as well as Kane Zhang, vice president of New Jinxin, an online education company focusing on career development, education, and data analysis. I'm John Artman, and on behalf of the entire team, thank you so much for listening to this edition, and we will be back again on Monday with more news and analysis.